Blog Talk Radio.
Just like God, who's going to show up and show out.
It's not just like God. When everything's going dark, he brings a little light. Isn't that just like God, who makes a way out of no way? Isn't that just like God when he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord? Isn't that just like God? If you wait patiently, he will deliver you. If you wait in agony, he will deliver you in victory. If you wait in unbelief, he will give you belief. Isn't that just like God? When you're waiting in a crisis, he will bring calm to your life. Isn't that just like God? Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, the Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are truly happy to have each and every one of you on. And we're going to get started with our lesson. We may be running a little over, and I'll say this later on as well. So for those that can hang around, hang around. I just know how God have given us victory, and sometimes we just need to stand in that victory. I'm going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll pray, give us a word of prayer, and remember to continue to pray for Evangelist Sharon's father and his situation. I just want God's will to be done in everybody's life, whatever that is. The people down in Florida, you know, that God's will be done. That's my prayer. I'm not trying to do anything outside of God's will being done for everybody. Pastor Bill from Akron, Ohio, would you give us a word of prayer? Also, before you come, I want you to know I got a phone call yesterday, and they were just really moved by your prayer. I just thought I'd put it online because they said it, and they texted me and told me they really enjoyed that prayer from yesterday. Pastor Bill from Akron, Ohio.
Praise the Lord, and good afternoon, everyone. Amen, and thank you for those encouraging words, and thank you, Pastor, for that song. He made a way out of no way. And then she said, ain't that just like God? Amen. And that's what he does for those who love him. Amen, amen. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from John, the 17th chapter, and verse 17 and verse 23. It says, sanctify them, thy word. Thy word is true. And then verse 23 says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We're thanking you for this day. Once again, we're thanking you for the word, Father God. Lord, we just ask that you would just continue to open up our hearts and our mind to receive this word, Father God. And Lord, we just thanking you for the victory, because we know that no matter what's going on, we have victory. Father God, bless each and every one that is listening. Bless those that participate, Father God. Continue to bless our pastor, Father God. Use him mightily. Holy Spirit, have your way. And allow the word of God to come forth, that we may receive this word. Lord, we ask that you will bless Evangelist Sharon and her dad as these things that she's going through. We know that God is a healer. It tells us in your word, by your stripes we are healed. So we're praying for healing spiritually. And we're just praying that you will continue to have your way, Father God. We bind up anything and everything to try to come up against this broadcast, against our pastor, the listeners, and those that participate. Because the word of God tells us, greater that is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So help us to stand on your word today, Father God. Lord, we ask that you would be with those who are bereaved today, Father God. Give them a peace of mind. You said you will keep the imperfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So give them that peace that they need as they go through a time such as this, Father God. We know you're in control. we know you are handling the situation, that situation in Florida, and even situations in our life, Father God. And, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Have your way for those that are going through, Father God. You'll make a way out of no way, Father God. And we're just going to continue to stand on the word of God, trusting you with our whole heart, and allow you to direct our path. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that beautiful prayer.
God bless.
Hallelujah. We thank God for you.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yes.
Praise God.
Okay. Sound like I did I hear Evangelist Sharon?
Yes, Pastor. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gideon, are you able to read?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, awesome. Well, we want to pick up where we left off yesterday. And just for the record, those that you may want to get a pencil, paper, I want you to kind of keep up with where we're going here. This about the gifts that Christ gave to the church. You know, he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, some teachers. And we wanted to discuss these gifts for the body of Christ, not for the world, but for the body of Christ. And it was for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into that unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which happens to be his church. Now, why is that important? First of all, understand, brothers and sisters, God's church is not a worldly church. And that's what we were trying to show you yesterday. You got to come out of the world. And we'll pick up a couple of those scriptures. And here's why you got to come out of the world, because God wants a glorious church.
Amen.
Write that.
Amen.
Write that. Make a note of that. See, he wants a glorious church, and a glorious church can't be a worldly church. Say that a couple of times. A glorious church can't be a worldly church, because a glorious church is operating in the glory of God.
Amen.
It's a glorious church. That's what he's putting together. That's why we, who that are apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers and pastors, we are teaching them a word that's going to bring about a glorious church.
Amen.
So what we're teaching is to bring about a glorious church, not a worldly church. Now, yesterday, that was a scripture that was read, and we really should have got into a little bit, and that was Romans 12, 1 and 2. And as the thing is sharing, she'll read that for me, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Pastor Busy. Thank you for that selection, and thank you, Pastor Bell, for all your love, felt prayers. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, in the King James, it reads as follows. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies at a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.
Amen, amen. And from the Message Bible, place your life before God. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That is a beautiful scripture. Oh, I am a witness to that scripture. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
That's a beautiful scripture. Yes. I love the way the Messenger Bible. Oh, my God. That's wonderful. Thank you.
Praise Lord. God.
Would you like to read it again, Pastor Bell?
Yes, I will, Pastor. Amen. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
So one has good pleasure, and he perfects a plan for his children that's different than the world. He wants us to be transformed people. That's what he wants us to take that transformation. Then he turns around and wants us to be renewed in our minds so that we can honor and obey him, because he wants us, and when you think about it, he wants only the best for us. And because he gave his son to make this possible for this new life, see, we're to live this new life. And we should joyfully give ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's for his service. That's why we do what is called the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet. See, why? Because you're going to begin to serve now. But you can't be conformed to this world or this worldly church and try to be in the body of Christ. You can't do them both now. The Christians are called to conform, let's see what we should say. The Christians are called out of the world and not to be conformed to the world. That's why I was telling you all yesterday about worldly churches. Our behavior should be different than worldly churches because we've been called out of the world. And that's the point I try to make today. I have 3 points I want to make. And one of them, we're going to be transformed. How about the renewing of our mind? I'm going to say this again. Your mind don't get born again. It has to be retrained. I want to get this. Yeah, see, you were trained on the worldly state, but now it has to be retrained in the Word of God. And I told you all yesterday, people, there are 3 people. And then I'm going to get into this a little bit about the world, because I want you to know there's a worldly church. That's why I was telling you about John the Baptist, how the when he came preaching the kingdom of God and how it has suffered violence and violence taking it by force. That's the worldly church. That's what Satan did. He was able to get in there, and what we think is apostles or not, what we think is pastors or not, what we think are pastors or not, they're not what we've been taught. So therefore, we need to be retrained. How about that one, huh? What we've been taught is there's only two people, and it's not so. There's three kinds of people. You got heathens, you got the worldly church, and then you got the church of Christ. Those are the three. And I know you may be thinking, but see, you might be thinking, well, isn't it more than that? Well, they're going to fit in one of those categories, I promise you. They're going to either be heathens. See, heathens, they don't really care. It doesn't matter to them one way or the other. That's the group that the church, organized church, don't want to be like. The organized church try to teach you from being like that, and then they want you to be like Christ, but they themselves don't live like Christ, and you'll see that as well. And they don't want to accept the word of God as truth. They don't want to do that one. But however, the kingdom of heaven have suffered violence, and violence take it by force. That's why it's so important that we understand that these three are different. And Jesus called you out of the world so you can be part of this glorious church. I think it was John 18:36, where Jesus was saying, my kingdom is not of this world. Was that John 18? Yeah, read that, John 18:36. I think that's where it was at.
John 18:36.
No, 36.
It reads as follows. In King James, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, my kingdom, Jesus said, doesn't consist of what you see around you. If it did, my followers would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But I'm not that kind of king, the world's kind of king. Amen.
Now, I would like for that to soak in. You got to know, that's not a misprint, people. That's the truth. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. So his kingdom is not of this world. So when you see word churches, that's their kingdom. That's their government. That's what they operate under. See? Mm-hmm. And then they teach the word all the time. But what we're talking about is Christ's church, building up Christ's church for a glorious church, not a worldly church, not a heathen church, but a worldly church, okay? That's what we're doing. So when we read scriptures like John 15:18-21, I think we didn't read all of that, but I want you to read that when you get a chance. We'll read it. We got some time. John 15:18-21.
It reads as follows in the King James. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. Because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world has is you. Remember the words that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. If you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start hating me. If you live on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. When that happens, remember this. Servants don't get better treated. I'm sorry. Servants don't get better treatment than their masters. If they beat on me, they will certainly beat on you. If they did what I told them, they will do what you tell them. They are going to do all these things to you because of the way they treated me, because they don't know the one who sent me. Amen, amen.
Amen.
If the world hates you, you got to understand they hated Christ too. So the world church hated him. It was the world church that hated him.
Yeah.
It was the world church that hated him. He says if you had, and if they hated him, you know they're going to hate you too. Why? Here's why. Because you have anything in common with the worldly church. See, when you got something in common, that means you're on their side. But Jesus said, well, wait a minute. I call you out of that mess.
All right.
And the reason I call you out of that, so you can love me, because you can't love me and them too. I told y'all, look up what worry means, and you'll find out. And that's another thing. We got to start identifying with our new nature, the fact that we've been crucified with Christ. We're no longer alive to the world way of thinking, but we're alive to Christ. That's why he said, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. So the life that you now live is not in the flesh. I'm going to say that again. The life you're living is not tangible. It's nothing you can touch. So the Christian life you're living now has nothing to do with no building. Now, I know some of y'all don't believe that's in the Word of God, but it's in there. I read it. I want to say it was in Galatians, but it's read. I read that. You can't live by the flesh. You live by faith, see, not flesh. So people go to the church building. You go to the church building, you're going by what you can see, what you can feel, what you can touch. Now, they don't want to admit to it, but that's what they do. Now, over there in Acts, if you remember over there in Acts, I think it was about the 15th chapter, we'll go over there, when the apostles were doing their job to the body of Christ, they called the people together, and they was explaining to them their position as apostles. Well, you know what? I'm gonna go over there. Let's go to Acts 15, and I'd like you all to read the whole thing so you know what's going on here, but I'll share this much with you. It came about that they wanted them to follow a bunch of rules and regulations, just like the church does. I don't want you to just take it. Just read the story, and you'll see it. And there was so much confusion, Peter had to finally stand up and say, y'all, these folks don't have to be circumcised. I know y'all teaching this stuff, but they don't have to do that. And so they were teaching a bunch of stuff about what had to happen in the body of Christ. Let me find this scripture, because I think I want to say it's Acts 15:33. so you can see what an apostle is. But to understand it, you have to go back and really read the story. Because see, Paul and Barnabas, there was a distinction between them because of what was going on. And Barnabas, he took and he sailed one way, and Paul took Silas and he went another way. And but Peter stood up and told him, "Hey y'all, look here. Here's what's going on. God have told us, and I'm gonna give it to you guys straight as soon as you read this, Acts 15:33. Think you gonna sign this? Y'all just bear with me here. Evangelist Sharon, read Acts 15:33. I think you might want to go to read 33. And read through 33 through 35.
Okay. And after they had carried their faith, they would let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Now withstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. And so off they went to Antioch. On arrival, they gathered and read the letters. The people were greatly relieved and pleased. Judas and Silas, good preachers, both of them, strengthened their new friends with many words of courage and hope. Then it was time to go home. They were sent off by their new friends with laughter and embrace all around to report back to who had sent them. Paul and Barnabas stayed on in Antioch teaching the word of God, but they weren't alone. There were a number of teachers and preachers at that time in Antioch. Amen.
Yeah. Well, and see, what you want to do, you want to go there and you want to learn about what is called the fivefold ministry. Like the apostles, what they had actually did was this, so you'll know what their jobs were. Their job were to identify with Christ now in every sense of the way and in every sense of the word. And some of them had became eyewitnesses. But there was others who were doing the same thing. What were they doing? Preaching the word of the Lord. Now that's a difference there. I know some of y'all probably going to beg the difference, but study, you'll see. There's a difference when they was preaching the word of the Lord. And Paul wanted to see how they was doing. They wasn't preaching Moses' law. See, Moses was still popular now. God and Moses was still possible. Now, you got to remember the Holy Ghost didn't come now. And these people had seen power. They had became witness unto the to everybody. But the Gentile had came into faith now.
Mm-hmm. Say that.
Who was the Gentile? See, this is why this is so important. The Gentiles had came in what at one time was considered heathen, but they had came into the fold and they began to minister to them. Well, you got some of these church folks here wanted them to do some of the same stuff they did. They wanted them to go through some of the same hard tasks they did.
All right now.
And he had to finally tell them, y'all didn't keep it. They shouldn't keep it. So finally they came to the conclusion of this. Hey, look here. Don't be eating this meat that's offered to idols. Don't be eating that stuff. And don't be eating meat that has blood and stangle. And he says, keep yourself from fornication. And they began to pour this stuff out per the scripture. And some of this was necessary. So, brother, get through all of that. here's the apostle's job. I'm just going to give it to you in next year. Their job was to take the scripture and search the scripture and see where it fits in with Christ, because Christ had became master now.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. Here, the Holy Ghost was in charge now. And the Holy Ghost was directing them in what path they should go. So the evangelist ministry was to bring glad tidings.
Uh-oh.
I think we don't see that. We need to hear that. We need to hear what God's saying about us, not what man say about us. We need to hear glad tidings. Good news. In other words, we need to hear good news. Nobody want to hear how bad they are, what they've been doing. They already know that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, he called us out of the world, or he called us out of that kind of situation. And when you do that, you're going to begin to see people going to be hostile toward you. They're going to persecute you. So you might well prepare yourself for this. Because the scripture said, in these last days, perilous times will come. For men will not, they're going to become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, lovers of boasters. They're going to be proud, blessing like that. And disobedient to prayer, unthankful, unholy, unloving. They're going to become all that stuff. Why you ask? Because they despise the word of God. There are those that are required to walk as children of God, but they chose to walk in a disobedience. And they despise the living God that is in Christ Jesus, who suffered persecution, but every man is going to go through the same process as he grow. When I say that, I mean women and men. I'm not just talking about males. I'm talking about mankind, God call them. It's time, brothers and sisters, we put on that new nature and teach people as apostles to put on that new nature, and that it's okay for everybody to eat the word of God, drink the word of God, sleep the word of God. Keep people out of, I want to find the right word to say, that's in line with the scripture, toxic situation. See, the enemy wants us to stay toxic.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. He get mad when if you don't believe it, tell somebody you finna leave their church and you finna go somewhere else. See, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. And violence is gonna take it by force. Well, I ain't giving you no letter to go to another church. What you need is right here. They don't want you to leave that system, and they'll fight you.
Mm.
What they call personnel to keep you from leaving that.
Have mercy, Lord.
I want y'all to hear this with your spirit. See why it's so important that we understand the gifts that God gave the body of Christ. Because, and I got scriptures for you too. If you just like a pastor, it's only mentioned here the kind of pastors of Christ. It only mentions here. Now, there's other pastors, and the word been translated as shepherd, maybe some 16 times, and we could look at those. But here, it's a different kind of pastor, because it's a different gift altogether than that of the Old Testament. Here, it's mentioned as evangelist here, different than any other place in the Bible, because it mentioned one. Now, somebody may be asking a question. Why is it different? Because God is looking for shepherds after his own heart. And I can get you all kinds of scriptures. So the ones that is shepherds after God's own heart are those that living in Christ, because Christ was the shepherd after God's own heart. So by you being in Christ, and being one, then you're going to be one with him.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And I just want you all to understand, these gifts that man had taken and made their own, they got their own kind of pastor. They got what they call pastors. What's the big deal with a pastor than an evangelist when it comes to scripture? Nothing.
Okay.
They all have the same job. Read that. They all got the same job. But look at here. They let the pastor shine. He the one that heads everything. He's over everything. He's the man, so to speak, or the woman. Because that's what they've been taught. And violence have taken what the kingdom of God is all about and established their own stuff. They do their own thing. Well, here's what the pastor has to do. And the pastor get paid. The musician get paid. That's fine to me. Well, why ain't the prophet getting paid? And then why ain't the evangelist getting paid?
Mm-hmm.
They're all doing the same thing. They're all performing the same operation. Do I need to go there? Because I go there if I need to now. They all is required to do the same thing. Bring unity in the body of Christ.
Please tell me I read that.
They all got the same calling. They all is to be one. And the gifts was given for the same purpose. Please tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
So when he gave the apostle the gift of apostleship and the prophet, the gift of prophets and evangelists and the pastor, they was all given for the same thing. Well, what was that? For the perfecting of the saints.
Yeah.
So the worldly church, they are separated that now. They got different titles now, different roles now.
Emerson. Mm-hmm.
It was for the perfecting of the saints, brothers and sisters. It don't get no plainer. The purpose is to prepare God's people to be part of a glorious church, to build up this glorious church.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But we're taking it out of context, and we're taking, pastor means somebody that's over the congregation who makes all the decisions, and then some churches, they really got it bad because the deacons got to call them to the church. The deacons get the people together and call them to the church. See, they went through the Bible and just destroyed it because violence. See, when you see violence, think of the fact that this is an organized spirit that have taken truth from the truth and established their own truth. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to try to explain this. When you read that and you see violence have taken the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, what did it take? What did it take? It took it. That's why the Antichrist spirit is already out here. They opposes Christ's teaching. That's what the anti is anyway. They opposes. So now you go back and you revisit what the organized church is about. They anti what Christ taught. He taught that the apostles, the prophets, and evangelists and pastors and teachers is to perfect the body of Christ, edify the body of Christ. Make it a glorious church. How you going to do that? Through the knowledge of the Son of God, perfect man, until we all come together into that unity of faith or to that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the organized church won't let that happen. They opposes Christ. So he end up telling them, stop being tossed to and fro like children. Care the doctrine and every wind. I mean, he tells them, stop doing that.
Amen.
Because you can't continue to do that and be part of the body of Christ, because our job is not with all these different doctrines. Our job is to bring unity to the body of Christ. That's our job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So pastor, if you're an evangelist, be the kind of pastor that Christ is calling for. Be the kind of evangelist mm-hmm. that Christ is calling for. Be the kind of teacher. Because, see, these teachers, they taught what the Word of God meant in terms of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what
all
they
right.
But they think teachers is to just teach what the Bible says. But they're not teaching revelation. Oh, well, a teacher gets in there and he teaches the Old Testament or teaches, do a research. And that's what they think teaching is.
Mm.
And they're missing it, man. They're teaching a new gospel, the revelation. All things are passing away. Behold, all things are become new. They're teaching salvation at a higher level of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So we all uh-huh. come together. See, we all got to get up in there into that unity of faith. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
we all for staying. Staying focused, staying true to the truth. I just want y'all to know, I'm keep me in your prayers. And as long as God let me, I'm gonna tell the truth, and I know what I'm up against. I'm fighting it, and I'm gonna share this with you guys. Yesterday, the enemy did not want me to teach the Word of God. I'm just gonna put it out there like that. And why?
Mm.
Because he knew that it's some truth. And the people that were there yesterday should have been here today. But because the enemy have kept them away, found ways to keep them from learning what yesterday was. But I just want you to know, all together, God worked it out. So y'all be blessed. Thank you for your prayers. And we'll see you all on tomorrow for the